아래당 이제 저기에다 가지 최탐 간래에 맞대봐 랑용은의 주바디 안에 주비 동바레스 동바 동상시레스 동바이제 지다다 간라마데 랑용은의 주바디 요마레라요드다 랑용은의 주비게 동바레라요드다 안에 간데시요레스네 팔 또부신실에 뛰네 따바즈미신실에 뛰네 주비바레스야지 고고레제 대디니 인자한테 시안을 뛰는 주발이 인자다 마주게 녀모세야다 디기주에 시안을 뛰는 주고래 시시안을 뛰는 주고래 지자디니 인자다 마주 녀모바 디게 내가 매바서야다 디네 사본나 제바 매바서야 아니 문주와 차사 매바서야디 두스네 그 디지조게 마주기 디고 다 직대들들 직대들 시시로바다
Good afternoon. So this morning, we continue to look at emptiness, establishing how all phenomena, without exception, are empty of being established by way of their own essence. They do not exist in the way that they appear at all. But that does not mean, though, that phenomena are non-existent. Rather, they are dependent arisings. And through developing this understanding, we can recognize that happiness is attainable. Freedom from the afflictions is attainable. And then we also looked at the varying levels of subtlety of antidotes to suffering. So we spoke about the coarser antidotes as well as subtler levels of antidotes where one can either temporarily overcome manifest afflictions or completely suppress afflictions of the desire realm and how to also eradicate completely the afflictions together with their seeds. So in brief, that's what we looked at this morning.
And in Zada, Che Tamji, and the Gutsu, Dashin Chibi, Tedu, Kalai Madu, Rang, when you drove a Tonsanji, Ton, the Tombany, Doran Deleda, then Tor Tane Lamsa, and took the Jelia sometime, and then Che Ganeshu in a park, Lu Tawat and Shen, doing the Juba Yoba, the Totu Gore, just a Totu Gore. Then That got it, you must in Tomba Nilpa, Chuk Dus, Chuk Gorachi, Sheep Sora, Chick Samra, Nan Chevache, Tomba Nuine Matovache, Matoidu, that two sin Tomba Nisedi, Nanjuki, some answer that Kisheva Najin, Kala, Mato Rangu, when you tribute Tonsan till the Gore Sedi, two city, Tomba Nikor, some not two city, that Kala Mato Rangu, when you tribute Tomba Inada, Zogin Meva Charugres, Chesna Cheta Charugres, because some not the Ligore, this year.
All phenomena, whichever one is investigated, one comes to recognize that it is empty of existing in the way that it appears. It appears as if it exists by way of its own nature or essence, but one recognizes that it's empty of existing by way of its own nature or essence. And this morning then, we also looked at in the text how when one has realized emptiness, this comes about through extensive analysis, detailed analysis, and because of the breadth and depth of such analysis and the power of the resulting realization of emptiness, thereafter, with ease, one will again realize emptiness. One will not have to go through this extensive process of analysis each and every time one realizes emptiness. And moreover, that realization of emptiness will have a transformative, a profound effect on one, not just in that meditation session, but thereafter. Then we also looked at this morning that prior to the actual realization of emptiness, the meditator may well come to some faulty conclusions. Perhaps when they're investigating and they're coming to see that phenomena do not exist in the way they appear, they may end up thinking they therefore do not exist at all. So such an error is, whilst not definite, is certainly possible for those who have not realized emptiness. And this was discussed at the beginning of this current section on page 20, that one may end up thinking that equating emptiness with a vacuity, which is nothingness, and that would be a mistake. So rather, one needs to study well and reflect carefully, and then one will avoid making such an error. But such an error is possible for some prior to the actual realization of emptiness. Those who have realized emptiness, they understand reality. They will not make such an error. Amongst meditators and philosophers, this will be a key point of analysis and debate. In fact, the Prasangika Madhyamaka school are accused by all other Buddhist tenet holders of being nihilists. Why? Because Prasangika assert that phenomena do not exist by way of their own nature. They are empty of existing by way of their own nature. Therefore, the Vaibhashikas, the Svachantikas, the Chittamachans and Svachantikas all say to the Prasangikas, you are nihilists. You have over-refuted. You assert that phenomena do not exist by way of their own nature, are not inherently existent. You, Prasangikas, have gone too far. You are nihilists. So all these Buddhist tenet holders say to the Prasangikas, you are nihilists because you assert that phenomena do not exist by way of their own nature. They are not naturally existent. The Prasangika, of course, do not accept this accusation, and they say in response, there is a difference between something being non-existent and being empty of existing by way of its own nature. Empty of existing by way of its own nature does not equate to non-existence. This is your misunderstanding. What we assert is that everything that exists is empty of existing by way of its own nature, but it exists as a dependence arising. This is what we assert. We need to understand these two together to understand reality. So this is the response from Prasangika. They say, there is nothing that exists by way of its own nature, and there is nothing that is not a dependent arising. This needs to be understood well. And this, you non-Prasangikas, are misunderstanding. We, Prasangikas, do not assert non-existence. We assert dependent arising. We assert that all phenomena are dependent arisings. For example, form, sound, smell, taste, and touch, all these objects, they lack existence by way of their own nature, but arise dependently. So in brief, there's nothing that is, therefore they are all dependent arisings, and therefore, because they are dependent arisings, they are not self-existent. They don't exist by way of their own nature, but they exist dependently. They are not independent or existing by way of their own nature, but rather dependent. So this is the response then of the Prasangikas to other Buddhist view holders.
ああ、でね、さ、で、実は、あの、から、主は先生、中天寺、蘭雲院に住居、東場道彩元がさ、で、東場に東半がさ、で、あの、ゆかね、東部にね、南に、だから、蘭雲院に住ば、南国で、実は、南は南心造院の様まれです。あの、で、順番の順番、順番なしで、南なしです。その、3の土地の国土をね、して、でね、まず、で、所谓でね、主は。
And also this morning, we looked at how those who have actually realized emptiness, they have realized that whilst phenomena appear to exist by way of their own nature or essence, and therefore appear to be independent, when one investigates, it's found they do not exist in this way. They are empty of existing by way of their own nature or essence, and therefore are not independent. And despite appearing like this, they then realize afterwards, despite appearing like this, this appearance is not true, but is false. And therefore, phenomena appearing to be self-existent are understood or related to as if they are like illusions or like dreams.
Some pendo gayo senas, that's our share of bliss. Dinjin joa jua gang, dinny domba nidu shes. Dinny dinny dabadi, din you umi lami nose, want to swear easily.
Now, returning to the text with the very top of page 22. So, just to say, all the outlines have been inserted by myself. The text here just continues. So the question is, what is the accomplishment or benefit of that? So this is very much linked to what we've just looked at. And the answer then is provided by His Holiness with a quote from Nagarjuna. Whatever is a dependence arising that is explained to be emptiness, that being a dependence imputation is itself the path of the middle way.
Mm. 丁金者和中华感应把丁的东北你都写写的就像先进了对的主吧变成继续去的巨大金先来对的主吧先进了定的中华把丁这的定金者和中华的那啊让心与主笔的东北给断大的了他都写的写吧这些的在多大的那个定居那断哪里啊都写吧写送药的这些那的那个目录就给你送了这些继续去
Looking at the first two lines, whatever is a dependence arising, that is explained to be emptiness. What Nagarjuna is saying here is that, take for example, functioning things or a compound of phenomena or impermanent phenomena, phenomena that change momentarily. These are dependence arisings, dependence on, for example, causes. And because they are dependence arising, now into the second line, they are therefore empty of being independent, or to use synonyms, empty of existing by way of their own nature or from their own side. And this is said not only here by Nagarjuna, but in sutra quotations or sutras taught by the Buddha. What is mentioned here, this is ascertained, realized by those who have realized emptiness. They know when in the meditation, when they recognize that something is a dependence arising, this induces the realization that it's empty of inherent existence. And conversely, when they recognize something's inherently empty of inherent existence, they too recognize that it is therefore a dependence arising. So this understanding, these two understandings working in harmony together, is how those who have realized emptiness experience dependence arising and emptiness together.
The person is realized emptiness. Whatever object they are meditating on, whether the person, the physical or mental aggregates, or any phenomenon, when they realize that it is a dependence arising, that it's dependent on labeling by mind, through the power of that very realization, that induces the understanding, and therefore it is empty of natural existence, empty of existing from its own side. So the sequence, this is for an accomplished meditator. These two come together. When they recognize that a phenomenon is a dependent arising, dependence on labeling by mind, they will know it cannot exist independently because it's a dependence arising. And because it's not independently existence, it is empty of existing by way of its own nature or independently. So and this second understanding of emptiness, that the phenomenon is empty of existing by way of its own nature, essence, or independently, is induced by the prior realization that the phenomenon is a dependence arising, dependence on imputation by mind.
This sequence of realizing that a phenomenon such as the person is a dependence arising and therefore is empty of inherent existence works in the opposite direction too. When the meditator realizes that the person is empty of existing by way of its own nature, it does not exist in the way that it appears, it is not independent. Through the power of that realization, it induces the understanding that just because the person does not exist in the way that it appears, it doesn't mean the person doesn't exist at all. The person exists as a dependence arising, dependent on labeling by mind. So here we see that the experienced meditator uses the realization of dependence arising, or sorry, for the experienced meditator, the realization of dependence arising induces the realization of emptiness, and the realization of emptiness induces the realization of dependence arising. And in this way, with experienced meditator, there is harmony between emptiness and dependence arising. Hearing this presentation, doubts will arise for some, because they'll recognize that when something is understood to exist because it's a dependence arising, its existence has been conventionally established, explained conventionally how it exists. But then on the other hand, when something is found to be empty of existing inherently, empty of existing by way of its own nature or essence, that realization of emptiness is the ultimate truth. So the first is conventional truth, the second is an ultimate truth. So this should be contradictory. So here a doubt may well arise.
Tomba
If something is found, so that to further look at the doubts, if something is found to be empty, that is its ultimate way of abiding, its ultimate way of existing, the final way that it exists. And emptiness, as we've heard, itself is empty. So this is the final way something exists. But on the other hand, if that phenomenon is also said to be a dependence arising, that is a conventional truth, whereas emptiness is an ultimate truth. So the doubt then would be further refined, or to present it clearly, that if a phenomenon is empty and a dependence arising, and a dependence arising is a conventional truth, then the nature of that phenomena, emptiness, will become a conventional truth as well. So here, the doubt comes down to that this presentation of the Prasangika, of the harmony between dependence arising and emptiness, ends up turning the ultimate truth, emptiness, into a conventional truth. Because if a phenomenon is both empty and a dependence arising, and dependence arising is a conventional truth, then the emptiness of the phenomenon surely will also be a conventional truth.
Usually when we talk about emptiness, we don't say the meaning of emptiness is dependence arising. What we say is the meaning of emptiness is that something is empty of existing from its own side. And to use synonyms, it's empty from being self-existent or existing by way of its own nature or essence. That is what it is empty of. That is the meaning of emptiness. So this is generally how the meaning of emptiness is presented. And I'll say it again. The meaning of emptiness is something that is empty of existing from its own side, empty of being self-existent.
那地南的北京南的呀，丁雄东北端都写一些的，东地个热了么？地端的的个热了么？冈萨说的冈来么都让我那个东上端的，东是冈萨可能冈来么让我那个东北人咋？俺那个的是呢，地界了看冈萨可能先进了端的多啊，才被国土过来，地端的的东北人丁雄东北人的端都写一些的，在地这个端的几个过来些。
Again, in general, when we talk about the meaning of emptiness, we don't say, what is the meaning of emptiness? Dependence arising. Rather, what is said, the phenomenon is empty of existing the way that appears, empty of being independent, empty of existing from its own side, and so forth. So that's in general what emptiness, if one were to give the meaning of emptiness, it would be just that. Here, though, what is being presented in these two lines, whatever is the dependent arising that is explained to be emptiness, is the realization of emptiness, realizing that a phenomenon is empty from existing by way of its own nature, it's empty of being self-existent. That realization induces the understanding or the realization thereafter that the phenomenon, though, does exist, but as a dependent arising. So to express this slightly differently, the consciousness realizing emptiness realizes that the phenomenon is empty of being independent, and that induces the realization that it is, but it therefore exists, though as a dependent arising. So the key point here is that it's not saying that the meaning of dependence, meaning of emptiness is dependent arising, but rather the realization of emptiness induces the understanding of dependence arising.
That when the six degrees, the tension, drama, joy, gain, but when the Dongbei Dundu, Nidu, Xie, Xie, when the Kara Songs, then, when the Xi Gangsa, Ruqi, Gangsa, Qi, Gangsa, Di, Ganglai, Ma, Di, Ba, Rang, Ong, Ong, Zhu, Bei, Dongbei, Dongsheng, Qi, Duan, Du, Di, Dongbei, Lu, Dongbei, Gangsa, Rang, Xing, Zhu, Ba, Dongbei, Dongbei, Lu, Di, Qi, Xu, Qi, An, Gangsa, Di, Xian, Qi, Le, Duan, Zhu, Ba, Yu, Ba, Di.
电竞也没得过土过来，现在过土过来是。那冈萨电竞这个中呢，怕乱怕打靶怎么又把些好过用的？你有落地有修的，俺那冈萨在冈来没得让我那猪把的要买的，是不得好过土过来是？其他的落地的几里啊，几天土过来是？在那地生活的，但东北人多汉冈萨了，那么上落地的几里啊，电竞都不落地的东西都不落进土过来，东西都不落地的电竞的进土过来是？在那地生活的。
Meaning then, in brief, is when the meditator realizes that the person is empty of being self-existent, empty of being established by way of their own essence, that mind, through the force of that mind, it induces the understanding that the person is a dependent, arising dependent on labeling by mind. And vice versa. If the meditator is first reflecting on dependence arising and realizes that the person is a dependence arising, exists as a dependence on labeling by mind, through the force or through the power of that realization, it induces the realization and therefore the person is empty of inherent existence. So in whichever sequence one goes in, the prior realization induces the subsequent realization.
哦，记得这些学会这些把端到嘴巴里边呢，要什么这个，可是从事呢，东北人多别干啥的，鱼可能那边呢，那万那些嘴巴大，俺们舅妈、闽南的不吃过的，是的，其他那些鱼的那些嘴巴多吃过，东北人多别干啥的，鱼可能那边呢，俺东北人多什么呢，干来嘛的让我们的嘴巴要么是的，先起来锻炼嘴巴。 你那么些的，看这里我说，你舅妈些的，你舅妈些的，看这里我说，舅妈点开干啥的，在的，得出来点点劲，哪用过了吧？那哪话哪些要买的？然后我呢，毛主席的，居然见先起来进来，对的，哪用过来？是的，先起来对的有的吧？你那么些的，你那么些大当啷个些的，你可别你的，点那个点呢，去哪用过来？是的，哪话哪些要买的？是的，东北人特别干啥的，有可能哪问呢？
what is being presented here fits very closely, what fits entirely with what His Holiness said at the in the preceding paragraph at the bottom of page 21, which is, when emptiness is realized, when it's realized that phenomena do not exist in the way they appear, one knows that the way they appear is false, it's not true, and they are understood to be like a dream or like an illusion. So what this shows is, through the realization of, in the initial realization of emptiness, this induces the understanding of dependent arising. And how so? So a dream is a dependent arising, in that in dependence on the ripening of imprints and consciousness, one has a dream. And then an illusion is dependent on various causes too, such as a magician, as well as the particular trick that they are doing. So there are a variety of causes required to bring about an illusion. So in this way, the meditator, recognizing that the person or whatever object is empty of inherent existence, through the power of that realization, they induce the understanding that the phenomenon exists dependently. It is likened then to an illusion or dream.
Dene dene daba de dini ume lami no sida dene sida da yu tongba yi si ore tongba yi de sida yu tongba yi ra ji kang la ma rang ngun ju pe tongbe tongba yi de sida da tongba yi za ko kang la ma rang ngun ju pe tongba yi za tongba yi de xian ji le dene yo re so dene dene daba xian ji le dene daba re sa tongba yi de sida xian ji le dene ju pe ma to kang tongba yi ho ra ya She can't let my duba, Korangan duba, Maratombany Koran, she angel, Dinner to go, Dinner Tabar, Shabares, Dinner Pa Lupa, Tombany's Pa Lu Tabares. Then the Niggy Tombany de and the Dinian dissonance at you do. Tombany said, A Koran rang on the Jugio Maracale, Tombany Koran, she angel, Dinner Pa Lu, Pa Tabasam, Jubares.
Looking at the third line, that being a dependent imputation, that then refers to the object that is realized to be empty. Is there that realization that the object is empty induces the understanding that it is dependent on labeling or imputation or designation. So the realization of emptiness induces the understanding that it is a dependent arising.
Looking
at the final line, is itself the path of the middle way. So here, the meditator takes these two realizations of emptiness and dependence arising and refutes both extremes, the extreme of existence or rarefication and the extreme of non-existence or nihilism, and rather abides on the middle way path. And how so? Through realizing that phenomena are empty of being established by way of their own essence, that eliminates the extreme of existence or rarefication. Because the phenomenon does not exist by way of its own essence. If it did, that would be the extreme of existence. Then secondly, but by recognizing that the phenomenon is not completely non-existent, which would be the extreme of nihilism, the meditator recognizes, because it's empty, it is a dependent arising, dependent on labeling by mind. So therefore, it is not completely non-existent either. So to repeat this, the realization that the phenomenon is empty of existing by way of its own nature or essence eliminates the extreme of existence, which would be that it did exist by way of its own nature or essence. But when one realizes it's empty of existing by way of its own nature or essence, the extreme of existence or rarefication is eradicated. And the other extreme of nihilism would be that it doesn't exist at all. This is avoided by the recognition that is induced by the realization of emptiness, which is that, but the phenomenon does exist conventionally, dependent on labeling or imputation or designation by mind. And in this way, the extreme of nihilism or the extreme of non-existence is avoided. And in this way, the yogin abides on the middle way path.
Dinyi uma yin se de, dinyi se de, tongba yin de, tongba yin de, tanyi da de, uma se de, tongba yin de, re, se de. Dari wa tanyi da de, tongba dinyi se de, tongba yin de se yore. Uma la de, tongba yin de, uma re, uma lam de, tongba yin de go go re, se, uma se de. Chidang, uma de, tongba yin de, tumayin bikim chakar sen, tabe tada an jawa, chebe tada an jawa, tache ye tanyi da an jawa yin zang, uma re, se yore, tongba yin de, uma re, se yore da.
Dini uma, lam lam jule jeshe jagyure ngay dada. So looking further at the fourth line, and if you wish, you can change the translation a bit here, because this particular term, deni, can mean emptiness, and it can mean that itself. So here, in accordance with Genla's explanation, we can change this last line to emptiness itself is the middle way path. That would be closest. Emptiness itself is the middle way path. So why is emptiness the middle way path? So why is emptiness the middle way? It is because through the realization of emptiness, we eradicate we realize that the phenomenon is empty of existing by way of its own essence, and thereby prevent oneself from falling into the extreme of existence. And that induces the understanding that the phenomenon is a dependent arising, dependent on labeling by mind, and therefore prevents one from falling into the extreme of nihilism. So therefore, emptiness is the middle way. This final line can translate as emptiness is the middle way path. So the emptiness is the middle way, then that's been explained. And then the last word, path. This then refers to the wisdom that is realizing emptiness. The wisdom that is realizing emptiness is the middle way path. So again, the translation of the final line, emptiness is the middle way path, and path refers to the wisdom realizing emptiness.
Uma says the lam se nilir, Uma se yudikurata, lam lade de tobe lochron, Jesa, yuda yujeni, Jesa ume lam labiode, lam di yudikarto was on Tomba yu ware, Saji. Jesa Uma said the goede, tenjubul, Uma said, Tomba yu go ware, Jesa ume lam labiode, Tomba yu tobe loch labor, that Tomba yu tobe lams go ware, lam chasamare, Tomba yu tobe lam de la, ume lam laguma, the pen, Janju simbula. Jambada, Nijeda, Janju Sem, Jesu Janju Semda, Nijeda, Jesu Jimba, Susan Sube, Yaman Diki, Lam Diki, Lam Redu, Ume Lam Reves, and did Ume Lam Lagma, yes. The Ume Lam said, I got some Tombay to Lokoron Ko, yes, Ume Lam, see, Tila Horace. Isn't the Uma love you do? Ume Lam said, Uma love you the Karas Karu goes, Tombay Koron Ko, yes, Cheta, Ume, Cheta Uma said, Tombay the res, Tombay the res, Cheta Tombay Koron Uma res. That did to pick a lamb de la umelam like a yes.
The term then middle way and the term path we should understand in the following way. The middle way refers to the object, emptiness, and path refers to the object possessor, the realizing consciousness. So the consciousness that realizes emptiness, that consciousness is the path that realizes its object emptiness, the middle way. Not, whilst there are many paths in the continuum of a bodhisattva, such as love, compassion, and bodhicitta, these, whilst they are paths, are not the path of the middle way. The path of the middle way, or the middle way path, that refers to the wisdom realizing emptiness, where path is the wisdom and middle way is the emptiness that that wisdom is realizing.
Mm-hmm.
And coming to the paragraph below the quotation, thus we understand the meaning of dependence arising as the natural lack of inherent existence. So here we see how the understanding of dependence arising induces the understanding of emptiness.
Mon Yi Shiva, Dinu Junwa, Sida, Chisan Gansa, the Kala Gasu Shinchila, Dune Payoba, Dinu Junwa, Sami Dor, Dope, Dope, Sema Digi, Dor, Dela Dinarza, Ran Mon Yi Shiva, Rashi Tripe, Tonga de Kotu, Rejil, Chisan, Dinu Junwa, Mon Yi Shiva, Dundu Gone, Sidida, Dinu Junwa Sidu, Gan Chinchila, Dune Yoba, the Semi Neva, Yen Yodu, and the Chidi.
The sentence concludes, and understand the meaning of the natural lack of inherent existence as being dependent arising. So this then is the same meaning, just expressed conversely. Through the realization that the person is a dependent arising, that consciousness induces the realization, and therefore the person is empty of inherent existence. So the two parts of the sentence together show the meditation from both aspects, realizing the person is empty of inherent existence, induces the understanding that the person is a dependent arising. And the realization that the person is a dependent arising induces the realization that the person is empty of inherent existence.
The paragraph concludes, then we ascertain that emptiness and dependence arising assist each other. This we see through the preceding sentence, that through realizing that for example, the person is empty of existing by way of its own nature, that induces the understanding, but that the person does still exist, but merely as a dependent arising, dependent on labeling by mind. And when the meditation comes from the other perspective, recognizing that the person is a dependent arising, exists dependent on labeling by mind, that induces the realization that the person is empty of existing independently or by way of its own nature. So in this way, the one realization aids or assists the other in both directions. And here then, when this is ascertained, confidence is gained that this is how phenomena abide.
And in the Ebony Topki, then Chinji Malobe, Tanibi, Tema, Teme, Mingsam Yubi, Tene, Balangi, Judo, Tushin, the chasing us. That the Nigi, Dombani Toran Korangi, the Nigi, Ever Tinjung, Tinjung, Jawa Jung, Lodigi, Shuki.
The next paragraph. Through the force of this ascertainment, a non-erroneous conventional valid cognizers properly engage in that which is to be adopted and cease doing that which is to be discarded within the context of existing merely as a label. So here we have the wisdom that realizes dependence arising, inducing the wisdom realizing emptiness, as well as the converse, the wisdom realizing emptiness inducing the wisdom realizing dependence arising. So here, this then
serves to establish that all phenomena do not exist by way of their own nature, but they do exist conventionally, merely labeled by mind. And therefore, all obstacles can be eradicated, all good qualities can be developed, all paths are possible. Why? Because the causes that are required to produce a path, they exist as dependent arisings and therefore can be accumulated. But they do not exist by way of their own nature, which would make them impossible to develop because they would be independent. So therefore one understands that the good qualities that need to be developed, so we have here as adopted, these we can engage with and cultivate, and those which harm us, those which are causes for suffering, we can eradicate, because everything that exists exists merely as a dependence arising. It does not exist by way of its own nature. The text continues, erroneous consciousnesses such as attachment and anger produced through the force of clinging to not existing merely as a label or clinging to existing from the side of the object become gradually weaker and finally can be abandoned. What was stated in this paragraph is similar to what we've covered recently, which is that our afflictions, such as anger and attachment, they are dependent arisings too. They come about in dependence on causes. And their root cause is the ignorance of self-grasping. There are a number of causes, but the root cause that all afflictions share is the ignorance of self-grasping. So with the ignorance of self-grasping, a phenomena are taken to exist in the way that they appear. And from this wrong consciousness, our other afflictions, such as attachment and anger, arise. Attachment for things which we see as existing in the way they appear. Anger towards things that we see as existing, we believe as existing in the way they appear. We grasp at things as existing in the way they appear, wanting to draw them close, push them away. So in this way, from the ignorance of self-grasping or true grasping, all our afflictions arise. And these come from the attachment and anger. The verse expresses it slightly differently. Ignorance of self-grasping or true grasping is how we normally express it. But here it's expressed quite precisely. Through the force of clinging to things as not existing merely as a label, which is how things conventionally exist. So when one clings at things, at existing in a way that is contrary to how they exist in reality, attachment and anger arises. Or clinging to them to existing from their own side, that too is another way of expressing it, believing that the object is self-existent. From this then, our afflictions come. When you recognize this process through the cultivation of wisdom, this wisdom then serves as an antidote to ignorance. And as even practitioners like ourselves develop this wisdom within ourselves, then our ignorance weakens. And as our ignorance weakens, so too do the resulting afflictions in both strength and frequency. So this is how the development of wisdom helps to bring freedom.
In this first paragraph and second paragraph as well, I think this came up before in the translation, that existing as merely labeled rather than existing merely as a label is a big difference. So in this first paragraph, that last phrase, and also the middle line in the next paragraph.
I see I'm just going to make a note of this, then I'll correct it off.
So Tsepel just corrected a mistake here in the translation. So we see in fourth and fifth, that's my numbering, in these first two paragraphs in the section, existing merely as a label. So that should rather be existing merely labeled.
Or as merely labeled.
Existing as merely labeled, because the phenomenon is not a self-existent label, but is merely labeled. So, so existing as merely labeled would be more correct. So that's in both of these first two paragraphs in this section.
Dene tar rimji pongtu ba yinuwas. Zina dene ki gomba le tongba yinuwa bu lo di gomba le dene chinju go lo di shuk 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 zhwane ane tar ane dene ki nyumon ba sabon na jeba sabon baksha da jeba pongtu bu reyes pongtu ba yinuwa pongtu ba yinuwa.
As then one develops one's wisdom, not only does it serve to weaken our ignorance and thereby the resulting afflictions, but actually the afflictions as we develop the wisdom substantially can eradicate ignorance together with its seeds. And that's the meaning of the final expression, finally be abandoned.
だ、ディナで軽すごらすね。ああ、自己、え、地産東半に飛びるろ。で、東半に生で東半で、かなやまとらんめんに住ばせ、さわきにみどさんびけ東半に飛ばいな。んでぎ東半に飛びるろ、自己、主金に切れからはこらすね。か、かなやま、支援地らだ。てんに住ばせるわ、自己、てんちん、じゃあ、じゅんわてはこと、ろで、てんぐれす。せざ、でにぎ全部ろで込めてね、せざだ。 刚来嘛，让我们就把现在的牛毛把也没，蓝棉也没，脱不下来嘛。让我们就准备干也没把的，刚让我们就准备干也没那样。他先鸡蛋煎，先起了炖的煮锅了吧？咱牛毛不半夜的鸡蛋煎，先起了炖的半锅锅的，蓝棉呢就光把也锅呢锅的配把的，啊，你先起了炖的锅呢锅的配锅的，现在炖的配锅的，天天现在天天给光把了，对吧？对的，那牛毛把就冲冲出来当。
Key point to take with us, take from this is that with this harmony that's being presented, the harmony between dependence arising and emptiness, this establishes how phenomena exist in reality. If they did not exist in this way, if they did exist in the way that they appear, phenomena could not change. If phenomena existed by way of their own nature or essence, that nature or essence would be independent, unrelated, could not be impacted by anything else at all. And therefore, things such as our afflictions could not be eradicated. Suffering could not be eradicated. Paths to liberation couldn't be developed. But on the other hand, because phenomena are empty of existing by way of their own nature, but exist conventionally as dependent arisings, therefore, our suffering experiences, the causes of that suffering, both can be eradicated. So too can happiness be cultivated, and the causes of happiness be cultivated, because suffering and its causes, happiness and its causes, are empty of existing by way of their own nature, but exist conventionally merely as dependent arisings. So therefore, paths can be developed. Freedom from the sufferings of samsara in its entirety can be attained. This is important to gain certainty of too. This morning I mentioned a variety of antidotes that one needs to cultivate, and there's a progression of from coarseness to subtlety. And amongst all the antidotes, that of the middle way path is supreme. There is no greater antidote to eradicating our suffering and its causes than to cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness. If we think of someone who lives in a beautiful home, perhaps a penthouse suite, which is well furnished and quite beautiful, and they live there very happy in their environment, that they can live in such a place is dependent on many things, in particular the foundation upon which it's built and all the preceding stories. If they hadn't been well built, or if they weren't there at all, there could be no penthouse. So to live there happily, all the preceding stages need to be properly accomplished. And
Dinila, Tombany Samtan Yel Karkongure, the Lam, Yumba Panwala, the Tombany Chibu Combitigo, Della Roba Karkure, and Dusina Chancho Semgobi, Ninja Conga, the Chasan Rimbaja, Hago Tugore, then around to get let on Bong around to get the Nigger Lobby, the Nigger Tombany Koshiadu, Lam Yamling Rimbadi, Dambo Karinibo Conga, and so Hago Tugomara, Matuba in San Aransola, and the Hako Tuyagi, Lela Wash Situation, Lam Yerimbadi, called Lam Rim Sidus.
Just like someone who's enjoying their well-furnished penthouse can only do so in dependence on all the varying levels that come below it, and in particular its foundation. So too, when we think of our lofty goal of attaining freedom from suffering in its entirety. To achieve that goal, we need to accomplish the required preceding stages. So how should we meditate? So here, this is presented in detail in the great text on the Lamrim, or the graduated stages to enlightenment, or the graduated path to enlightenment. So texts such as the Lamrim Chemo and many others, they present the graduated sequence of trainings or path to cultivate within oneself in order to give rise to the goal of enlightenment. So those who are well studied in all the great texts, they know not just the sequence of paths, they know them in detail, and they understand how one influences the other in a forward, in one direction as well as in the other direction, how all the various stages interact. So we who have not studied in such great detail, we need to nevertheless follow what is presented in the Lamrim and do so through the combination of receiving teachings and reflecting on them. And as we gather ever more knowledge, we have ever more of a foundation to integrate within ourselves. So therefore, we need to rely on what is presented, or how the stages of the path are presented in the Lamrim. So for those of us who haven't been able to study extensively in the great texts, we should rely on what's presented in the Lamrim, because it's condensed there and arranged in the unmistaken sequence. The first step, then, is on how to rely on one's spiritual teacher. Because just like with all the knowledge and skills that we have acquired in this life, we have done so in independence on relying on someone who is already knowledgeable. And so too, for us to transform our way of thinking, we need to rely on someone who has not only great knowledge, but has integrated that and transformed their own minds.
Tipping around
但是, 好,我觉得你必须当有的必须当土屋的也是现有的,但是有的,现在的地方嘛,一些过来,送过来吧。
The second topic in the Lamrim is, moves into a section now where designed to bring confidence and strength of mind and a refocusing of priorities to the students. Here, we look at the preciousness of this human weaver. We all, as students of the Dharma, are humans. But we don't necessarily recognize how precious this life is. We value our life, but not in the sense that is meant here, where this term precious is applied. Here, through this presentation, we come to recognize the great value of this particular life that we've achieved, this human rebirth. We can completely transform our way of thinking, accumulate all the causes that are required, at the very least, to ensure a good rebirth in future lives. But in fact, we can, through this basis, create the causes to achieve liberation from suffering in its entirety and even enlightenment. All of this we have. So we recognize we have a human rebirth, but that it is so precious. This needs to be cultivated through gathering knowledge and integrating it through meditation. In this way, we gain confidence that we can achieve something remarkable with what remains of this life, and therefore to use it well. The next topic of the Lamrim is of supreme importance. It is the doorway to enter into the Dharma, and that is the topic of impermanence. So the reflection on impermanence can and should be done in a wide variety of ways. Amongst them, probably the supreme, is the impermanence of this very life, this life that we have just recognized in the previous topic of how precious it is. Here, we all intellectually understand that we will die.
We all intellectually understand that this life is going to come to an end at some point, but we don't live with the understanding, with the comprehension that the end of our life can come at any time and in any number of ways. We all accept the end will come, but we have this innate feeling of time. And the grave fault with this is that we live as if there is certainty of this expanse of years, of conditions such as health, of remaining at least as good as we have now. This is not founded on anything certain at all. This life has come about, this body that we've achieved, this human life and this body has come about in dependence on causes. When those causes are exhausted, this life will end. Or if other contrary, more powerful causes are met, this life will end. But what is happening though throughout this process is that this life is ending and the next is approaching. How near, how far? We cannot say with any certainty, but that this life is ending and the next is approaching, this we can say with certainty. And if you look back over the expanse of this life, the body that we had when we were little, when we were toddlers, long gone. For those of us who are middle-aged, the body that we had as a youth, long gone. And all the opportunities that come with the vigor of youth, long gone. So this life is passing. And it's passing in a way that we haven't yet come to truly recognize. And what is so important with this topic and why it is the doorway to the entering of the Dharma is through recognizing the impermanence of this opportunity that we have already recognized is so precious, we'll reprioritize our values. We'll put our energy, our focus on what has lasting value. We'll strive to accomplish what has real meaning and live a life that is meaningful. That comes about through the recognition of, firstly, the preciousness of this opportunity, and secondly, that it is fleeting and that it can end at any time.
Then Mahon Banana Chiwa to Gurang, Chi Mia to Gurasam, some lodge mena, not the D. Che Jagi, some lodge lit to go mad. She's a Deneza, that Denegi, some lodge lit to that. I didn't want to give a gang to the Chesha Vene. Nikitishin accounts Kayama, simply Jamakar, Jawachima, the Yahoo Chilian Yimbarwa. She's a Deneza, that didn't have to do sin. Meet up us sometime, do you? To get you to be a tatan, get you to be a gay. That Dimbati is to go rejected. Then in that, meet up us at the common, get him more as soon as you did.
Take an illustration of two people at work who are told by their boss that they need to go somewhere else in at some point. The boss cannot tell them when they're going. It may be later that day, maybe the next day, or in some day's time. The boss is uncertain, but it is certain, it is definite that these two staff members will have to go. And where they're going, it's of great importance, and they need to achieve whatever their work is at this other place. Now, of these two people, one understands the importance of this trip, and that when it could happen is unclear, so they prepare, and they prepare well right now. The other is a bit more blasé and puts it out of their mind and rather just goes on with their day, pottering about. And then suddenly, at some point, they have to go, and they have to go right now. The one prepared well, and they will pick up their bag and they will be ready to go. The other will be stressed, running around frantically, but actually it will be too late. So that then is likened to the situation that we find ourselves in. We need to reflect on this well. So independence on our prior appreciation of the preciousness of this human life, the great opportunity that this life brings us to accomplish the Dharma, to transform our mind. And now, through recognizing that this opportunity of this life will end at any time and any wide number of ways, we come to recognize that at some point, everyone, everything and I will all be gone. So therefore, I must prepare myself now, because when the next life comes, we cannot yet say for certain what direction we'll head in, and how difficult in the next life will be to reconnect with the path. So therefore, we must utilize this opportunity that we have
whilst we have the chance. Sujum Sayada, Sevoga, Yamlinche, Tin Yamlinche, Yane, Yam, the Chevalatine, Samuel to Shuk Church, Nuba Yacha, Nuba Church, Church, Dene, Yomobi, Samuel, New Mashu, Chun, Chuja, Tin, Jewa, Jan, Chile, Dene, and some of the Dinis, some of the Tangwala, Dene, some of the Tibuli, Dilly, Dilla, Dilly, Sevi, Chesan, Jugi, Sujum Sumala, Dene, and Galli, Sene, Chigam, Shanley, Pembe, Jam, Sama, Dilly.
Having come to ascertain, to realize the preciousness of this opportunity, but that it is finite, this then opens the Dharma paths to us. And whatever goals that we have now, aspirations we have to develop, will be attainable. And relatively speaking, will be easily attainable because of our confidence, our strength of mind, and our willingness to apply ourselves wholeheartedly. We will recognize then that the foundation for all good qualities is ethical restraint, a mind that is not overwhelmed by the afflictions, but a mind that is kept virtuous. We will readily guard our mind with mindfulness and vigilant introspection to ensure that it's not going in an unwholesome way, but we're keeping it wholesome. And with this as a basis, we'll readily be able to develop love and compassion for others, because we'll recognize through the varying reflections that all that we have that's good in our life comes about not through our own self-effort, but in dependence on others. We start to recognize the value of others and the value of others and the kindness and benefit that the kindness they've shown to us and the benefit they've brought to us. And this then, in dependence on that, that is the basis to develop love for others, wanting them to be happy. Not only that, through our reflections on suffering and its causes, we will recognize that others too are tormented by their afflictions, but they long for happiness. And we will give rise then to compassion, the yearning, may they be freed of suffering. May all beings be freed of suffering and its causes. We will be able to, in dependence on that, cultivate this mind ever further, where we generate the mind of bodhicitta, the determination to become a Buddha as quickly as possible for the sake of others. And this, then, will give us an incredible strength of mind to strive to gain freedom from suffering ourselves so that we can benefit others evermore. And here, then, we engage in the cultivation of the six perfections: ethical restraint, generosity, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration, and wisdom realizing emptiness. And throughout all these meditations, we will be aware through the studies that we've had like this weekend, that this precious human rebirth we have came about in dependence on causes. Therefore, it's not inherently existent. I myself accumulated these causes, and I can do so again, because the causes are not inherently existent, they can be accumulated, and therefore I can attain good results in the future. And because this precious human life has come about independence on causes, when those causes are exhausted, it will end. So therefore, I need to utilize it well. If this life were inherently existent, it would never depreciate, it would never degenerate, because its nature would be that it establishes it, would be independent, and therefore could not degenerate. So here, I understand that dependence and rising and emptiness we apply to the precious human rebirth and to its impermanence. And likewise then, to the cultivation of love for others, compassion for others. We recognize that these are good qualities, and because they don't exist by way of their own nature, but are dependent arisings, through cultivating ever more causes, we can become more loving and more compassionate. And developing this ever further, we can give rise to bodhicitta itself. It is not beyond us. It is entirely possible. And likewise, all the sufferings of samsara that we experience and others experience can be eradicated because they are dependent arisings. And thereby, through eradicating previously accumulated causes and accumulating contrary causes, we can gain freedom. And so forth with all the six perfections. It's because they're dependent arisings, we can cultivate them further. It's because they are not existent by way of their own nature that they can be developed further. So in this way, we can take our understanding of emptiness and dependent arising and apply it in meditation to each other steps of the Lamrim. So when you're meditating on the preciousness of this life, we can do so conjoining that meditation with wisdom, and so forth, with all the stages of the path. And that then, in brief, is what we've looked at this weekend and how to apply it. So thank you, and we'll finish there today. Thank you.